Amen. Thank you. I'm looking at my notes because I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to dismiss K through third grade. Yep, thumbs up, I am. Consider it done. Indeed, this is such a special day. Thanks for being here today and worshiping with us. It's a big, big day in the Slocum House. Scott's been counting down to today and his big day joining. And what I want to tell you as Scott's spouse is, Scott didn't have any choice, right, to come here when I was like, guess what, we're going to go to Kairos. He didn't have any choice, but it's been this really beautiful journey as we have started here and joined here of Scott feeling very called to this place, and you all have done such a beautiful job of loving him and pulling him in, and it's been a home for him, and I know that Marchant talks about Tatum's story is the same thing, and I appreciated Joe's words very much. You don't always get lots of say when you're the spouse of someone that works in a church, but I am so grateful to you and to this faith family that it didn't need to be a thing where I said, you have to come. He genuinely enjoys being here. And matter of fact, there are Sundays when I'm not here and Scott is. And so thank you for loving my family so well, for loving Scott so well, for being such a beautiful community. It's such a joy to get to be a part of this place. We are going to start a new sermon series today. I don't know if you know this, but there is a new movie out called Inside Out 2. Have you seen it yet? Have you seen the Inside Out movie? Yes? I hear it's phenomenal. I'm holding out because I'm going to make my entire family go see it all together, and they are very excited about that. But we're going to take all those emotions. I think sometimes we think about emotions and the church and what does the Bible say about all of these things, and I think we sometimes categorize some emotions as good and some as bad, and I'm wondering, is that really what the Bible has to say? And so we're going to walk through some of these emotions over the summer, and so I'm hoping in the next couple weeks, I'm hoping that we can give you some different resources. I've reached out to some of our friends who are in the counseling business and some children's resources. I'm hoping we're going to continue to generate a list and have that for you. I think this is going to be a really interesting time for us to explore some of these things as a faith family. This morning, we are going to look at joy. And it just occurred to me when the first movie came out, that Halloween, I was joy for your Halloween. For Halloween. So I should have given you a picture of me in my blue wig, but I didn't. Say, I'll save you from that. But we're just going to look at what does the Bible have to say about joy. So as we get into scripture, first, let's go to God in prayer. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks for the delight it is to get to be a part of this place, Lord, to worship together, to come together as a family. And so, God, we pray now that as we approach your word, that you would be present here, that the words that are spoken and read and heard, that they're your words, that you are molding us and shaping us into the people you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful that we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I invite you to listen now at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I love this scripture. I love Psalm 100. This is the first scripture I ever memorized. Now, I want to make sure you understand why this is such a big deal, because I don't hold anything in my brain, nothing. There's nothing up there. Like, when people are like, close your eyes and picture the beach, I close my eyes and all I see is the dark of my eyes being closed. Like, there's nothing, there are no images up there. So memorizing is very hard for me. And so when I was in elementary school, the children's pastor, her name was Miss Margaret, she challenged us to go home and memorize Psalm 100. I am not interested. Thank you, Miss Margaret. And she said, if you can memorize this psalm, there's a prize. Well, now this seems like a good idea of something to do. I love a prize. So I go home and I spend all week working to memorize Psalm 100. And the next week I come back and I say, Miss Margaret, I have memorized Psalm 100. And I recite the psalm for her. She's delighted, as am I, because now I'm getting a prize. And so she pulls out this book. It is an illustrated version of the 23rd Psalm. And she said, now, go memorize this one. That's not a prize, Miss Margaret. I feel like that woman still owes me ice cream. That is not a prize. But what it did do is lodge Psalm 100 deep inside of me. It made it something that as soon as we started thinking about joy and what does it mean to be a person who has joy, the first thing I thought about was Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. I appreciate the psalm because it gives us the reason that we are joyful as people of God. It explains to us why we have joy. It tells us that we have joy because we know that the Lord is God. It tells us that we have joy because God made us, because we are God's, that we have joy because we're God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. We have joy because our identity, who we are, is based in who God is. The psalm helps us to understand the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is a feeling, it's an emotion that we experience based on circumstances around us. Happiness comes and goes. It can be fleeting, right? We sing about when the dog bites and when the bee stings, that's when I'm feeling sad and I'm not happy, but all I do is think about brown paper packages tied up with string and now I'm happy. Happiness is fickle. But joy isn't based in how we're feeling. Joy is our very identity, the foundation of who we understand ourselves to be in relation to the God who made us, the God who has a relationship with us, who cares for us, who carries us. Psalm 100 ends by telling us that the Lord is God, that his love endures forever, and his faithfulness for all generations. His love and faithfulness will never end, and because of that, because we are constantly being sustained by this unconditional love, this never-ending faithfulness of God, it means that our joy then can be constant, that our joy is real all the time. There's a book that I want to commend to you called The Book of Joy, and it's written by Douglas Abrams. He spends a week with Desmond Tutu and His Holiness the Dalai Lama, and they spend the whole week discussing what is joy and how one would experience and live out joy, which is, of course, fascinating because Desmond Tutu was constantly fighting oppression and apartheid, and the Dalai Lama was exiled from his own country. These don't feel like joyous things, and yet these men carry tremendous joy in their lives. So they spend the whole week together talking about what is joy and how does one have joy. And at the beginning of the book, as they're defining what joy is, the Archbishop describes it this way. It is wonderful to discover that what we want is not actually happiness. It's not actually what I would speak of. I would speak of joy. Joy subsumes happiness. Joy is the far greater thing. Think of a mother who is going to give birth. Almost all of us want to escape pain, and mothers know that they're going to have pain, the great pain of giving birth, but they accept it. And even after the most painful labor, once the baby is out, you can't measure the mother's joy. It is one of those incredible things that joy can come so quickly from suffering. Certainly, we know joy in a wholly different way than we would experience or feel an emotion like happiness. That line, I love that line, joy subsumes happiness. It gives us a greater purpose, a greater understanding of who we are. But I don't want to miss what the Archbishop highlights for us in this quote, that we have to acknowledge that joy has some sort of relation to suffering. Now, when I say joy and suffering or pain, I don't know if you automatically start hearing joy and pain from Rob Bass playing in your head a little bit. And so then it turns out when I go to Google Joy and Pain from Rob Bass, which is an 80s hip-hop song, in case you're wondering, it turns out that song is a sample of a song by, Maze and Frankie Beverly, which is another 80s R&B masterpiece by the same name, Joy and Pain. Apparently it topped the charts all over the world, so you should put this in your playlist. But one of the stanzas in that song goes like this. Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. Over and over, you can be sure there will be sorrow, but you will endure. Where there's a flower, there's the sun and the rain. Oh, and it's wonderful, they're both one and the same. Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. You're welcome for putting that earworm in your ear. You will hear that the rest of the day, the joy and pain. We live enough real life that we have to acknowledge that somehow joy and pain have some sort of relationship. To think that because we are people of faith that we will get to exist in some sort of a joy-filled vacuum is naive at best. But if we're really honest, to think that we're going to get to escape from any pain and only live out the joy is dangerous and harmful. Even Jesus himself acknowledges that this is part of who we are, that both of these things are part of who we are. And in the book of John, in the Gospel of John, this is the scripture that Desmond Tutu references in our quote earlier. But Jesus says this to his disciples, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me." Then some of his disciples said to one another, "What does it mean that he is saying to us, 'A little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father?'" They said, "What does he mean by this 'a little while'? We do not know what he's talking about." Jesus knew that the disciples wanted to ask him, and so he said to them, "Are you discussing among yourselves what I meant when I said 'a little while and you will no longer see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Very truly, I tell you," Jesus says, "you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor and she has pain because her hour has come, but when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." As Jesus is talking to his disciples, it's nearing his time to go. Jesus is going to know suffering and death in the next days, but also so are the disciples. Those that are close to Jesus, they're going to feel that pain and the hurt. They're going to grieve the loss of the one that they love. They're going to start a church, and they're going to be persecuted for the church. They will experience suffering and pain and hurt and grief and anxiety and fear and loneliness. Their hearts will ache, and their souls will suffer. And yet, what Jesus tells them is that they will know joy. That in all these things, the disciples will know joy. About 2.5 years ago, my aunt died. It was a sudden and unexpected tragedy. The grief was multiplied by the fact that her 2 grandchildren were living with her. The older of the 2 children was old enough to, she was almost 18, she was going to college, so she got to stay in Kentucky. The younger of the 2 siblings is Charlie, and Charlie came to be part of the Slocum family. And while we do not love the circumstances of how he got to our house, we absolutely love that he is here and part of our family. Last month, Charlie graduated from Roswell High School. And I wasn't prepared for how I would feel through that whole month of May. Every single celebration was a reason to burst with pride and with joy. But also every single moment held deep grief. It was my aunt who had encouraged him to join the band. She should have been there for his final band concert. It was my aunt who took him to church for the first time. She should have been there to hear him share his story on Senior Sunday. It was my aunt who was the one who made sure he went to school, who taught him how to study. She should have been there to hear his name called when he crossed that stage. But she wasn't. And it was, I had such deep grief, and I wept over and over, and yet what joy it was for me to get to be the one to embrace him when he came down off that stage. And to celebrate him, the pride, the celebration, how wonderful that so many people came and gathered around him to celebrate him, that the entire month of May, that the band concerts and the banquets and the senior picnic and the graduation party and sending out the announcements, that in every single moment, my heart and my soul were in a constant tug of war between joy and grief. And so what we have been learning over and over again at our house is that the reality is two things can be true. But what I know from Scripture, what I know from this passage, what I know from what Jesus is telling us in the book of John, what I know is that not only can two things be true, but the good news of our Scripture, friends, the good news is that two things are true. That because of the gift of the Spirit, we know that the reality of the world means that there are deep depths of hurt and pain and grief, but we are not left there. We are not intended for the deep depths of pain and grief. Jesus assures us then of the reality and saving grace of the joy that holds us. As a matter of fact, I would offer that we know joy better and more intimately because of the reality of the hurt in our lives. And so Jesus goes in that scripture in John, he goes on to tell us that not only will joy hold on to us through the pain that we will know, but in the end, we can be certain it will be joy that has the last say, that it will be joy that endures into eternity. Remember, in that passage, he says, "So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. And no one," Jesus says, "will take your joy from you." Much like we saw in Psalm 100, where we are assured that God's love and faithfulness will endure forever, here in the gospel, we are also assured that of the joy that we will have because we know Christ Jesus. Many of you know the name Steve Hayner. He was an active leader at Kairos. He was the president of Columbia Seminary while I was there. And while he was doing both of those things, he was diagnosed with an aggressive pancreatic cancer. Steve and his wife Cheryl kept a journey throughout the whole process, and that book, the journal was later published as a book called Joy in the Journey. I would commend this book to you as well. It's beautifully done. It's beautiful, and it will change your perspective on everything. But I want to read to you one of the last entries in the book. This one was written by Cheryl. This is after Steve has died, and she's reflecting on the mixture of tears and gratitude that she is experiencing and acknowledging the role of faith that held them through the whole journey. In the book, she says this: "Steve is now face to face with God, fully in God's presence, and he is knowing fullness of joy. No more scarcity, no more mere drops, but abundant, overflowing fullness. Joy fully." She goes on to say that she's learned so much from Steve and that she knows Jesus better because of her time with them. And then she ends her entry by saying, "My heart is full, even in grief." For Cheryl, the gracious good news is that two things are true. But for Steve, the blessed gospel is it is the joy that has endured, no longer holding on to two things, but indeed joy fully. So what blessed truth it is that we get to know the good news of the Spirit, that not only can we cling to the joy that has been given to us, but the scripture assures us that joy is tenaciously holding on to us. And that is good news. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Holy God, indeed, we give you thanks for this great gift of joy that you have given us, that it is the joy that holds us. So, Lord, surround us with that. Continue to whisper into our ears over and over again that this is the joy, Lord, that lasts forever, that holds us forever. And may we know you more and more fully. In your holy name we pray, amen. And so it is here, then, at this table that we continue to acknowledge that joy. Here at this table, we acknowledge that two things are true, that pain, grief, the suffering, that is real. But here we have not acknowledged that that is not the last word, that it is joy that holds us, that carries us, that has the final word in our lives, and that's good news. And so we remember then, even that we just read from the Gospel of John, as Jesus gathered around the table with the disciples, he tells them, it is joy that will hold you. And so this morning, as we celebrate communion, as you eat the bread and dip in the cup or use your kit, whichever one you'd like, either way, I pray that you will hear that reminder of Jesus saying, it is joy that will hold you. So as we come around the table, then let me go to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you have drawn us together this morning. Lord, we give you thanks for the deep joy that you have given into us, into our lives. And so, Lord, as we come around this table, we pray that you would set aside this bread and this cup from an ordinary to a sacred use, that you would bless this time, that you would bless this meal, Lord, to the very fullness of our spirits. Be present, dear God. In your name we pray. Amen. So I invite you to hear these words then. Then on the night that our Lord was betrayed, he took the bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant which is poured out for you in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Friends, this is the feast of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ryan and Judy are serving communion this morning, and so we'll have one they'll be on either side, and as you feel so moved, you can come forward to celebrate communion. There are little pieces of bread in there. You can take a piece of bread and then dip it in the cup. We call that intinction, and eat it and do communion that way. But if you would prefer, there is a little kit, and the kit has the cracker and the juice in it, and that cracker is gluten-free. So if gluten-free is important to you, I want to make sure you know that those kits are there. After everybody who would like to come forward has a chance to do that, I'm going to circle back to serve Matt in the booth. And when I come back, if you would prefer, for whatever reason, to be served in your seat, if you'll just give me a little wave, I'd love to serve you where you are. It's important to us that everybody is served and gets to celebrate communion, because we believe that this message of joy is open to all. We look to the Lord for their life. And so we want to make sure everybody has access to that. Friends, this is the feast of God for the people of God. Okay. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Huh? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. Ryan, this is the body of Christ given for you, and the cup of salvation given for you. Oh, I was going to serve you. The cup of salvation given for you. And you had it already?
Yeah.
Okay. This is the body of Christ given for you, and the cup of salvation given for you. Did you have it already? Okay. Morgan, this is the body of Christ given for you and the cup of salvation given for you. Zach, this is the body of Christ given for you and the cup of salvation given for you. Good morning. Hello. Bethany, this is the body of Christ and the cup of salvation given for you. Ryan, this is the body of Christ and the cup of salvation given for you. It has been so good to be together, to get to worship together, to celebrate, to be joyful together. I think let's just keep this party going, and we'll go to lunch at Sunnyside. It's super close. If you need the address, Joe will get it for you. It's not far, so we would love for that. I do want to remind you, as our mission team so beautifully are highlighted for you, today and next Sunday, our last two Sundays in this fiscal year, so we'd love for you to remember that. And let me tell you why I want to be really clear about that, especially with Scott and Tatum joining this morning. We believe that this is part of our discipleship, of what it looks like to be a member here. We read scripture together, we worship together, we celebrate sacraments together, but we also believe that extravagant generosity is part of what we do. And so we're going to keep talking about all those things. We're going to talk about Jesus, and we're going to talk about giving money to the church, because this is part of who we are and what we do. So we want to be really committed to that. I think those are all the things I'm supposed to remember to tell you. Next week, we're going to talk about anger. So I would love for you to be here as we look at that. And if you feel any, if you would like to talk more about what it means to be a member of this church, we would love to talk to you about that. Please come talk to me or somebody on staff. We would love to continue those conversations with you as we celebrate what it looks like to be a family together. But I'm going to invite you to stand now for the benediction. So as we go from this place to Sunnyside Pizza, may the Holy Spirit go ahead of us to guide us, behind us to encourage us, beside us to be our friend, over and below us to sustain us. And may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forevermore. Amen. Here, come out with me so people can say hello to you. Well, y'all can be down here so everybody can hug you as on their way out. But we are very excited, all official and stuff.